Some of my worship planning team suggested that I really didn't need to preach this morning because Don had said it all last week. So we could just go home or carry on. The parable of the Good Samaritan. We know this story. We learned it in Sunday school. When we were young, most people went to church or to Sunday school. And so they knew this story well. Would the children of today know the story as well? Certainly, people everywhere in every walk of life have heard or used the term Good Samaritan. Seems to me that Good Samaritan is something of an oxymoron, something along the lines of plastic glasses, or work party, or taped live. Peace force, war games. Nevertheless, Good Samaritan it is. And the story seems to have been with us all our lives. So let's see if we can't find some new perspectives on a familiar story. Just as a footnote, if you read from a modern translation of the Bible, you'll find helpful titles inserted to indicate what's coming next in the chapter or part of the chapter. So when we come to Luke 25, verse 25 of chapter 10, the title says, The Parable of the Good Samaritan. However, if you read, say, the King James Version of the Bible, first published in 1611, there are no such helpful hints as to what is coming next. So we are prepared for the parable of the Good Samaritan. The term Good Samaritan, used in a figurative sense, first appears in common usage in the mid-1600s. So what is a Good Samaritan? Perhaps we could define it as a person who does good deeds out of compassion and not because of any hope of reward. Good Samaritan has become such a generic term you don't have to be a Christian or to have read the Bible to know or use the term. It's everywhere. The Good Samaritan Hospital, Sisters of the Good Samaritan, Congregation of the Good Samaritan, Samaritan's Purse, and so on. We know the term Good Samaritan derives from the parable told by Jesus. In the parable, a Jew is robbed and beaten, then left on the side of the road to die. After the injured Jew is passed by a priest and a Levite, a man from Samaria, also known as a Samaritan, finds the Jew and helps him. This was a surprising turn of events to the audience that Jesus was telling the story to. Jews and Samaritans did not think well of each other. Maybe an understatement. At the time of Jesus' ministry, the land of Samaria was situated between the regions of Galilee in the north and Judea in the south. Jews travelling between Galilee and Judea would take the longer 6-day journey rather than go through Samaria. The Jews avoided the Samaritans because of their bitter history. Hundreds of years previously, after the death of King Solomon, the nation of Israel split into north and south. The northern tribes of Israel were collectively called Israel, and their capital city was Samaria. The southern tribes of Judah, Benjamin, and Simeon were collectively called Judah, and their capital city was Jerusalem. A distance of 50 kilometres separated the cities of Jerusalem and Samaria. In 586 BC, the southern kingdom of Judah was conquered by the Babylonians, and the whole of Israel and Judah came to be known as Samaria. Many Jews were exiled from their homeland and taken captive into Babylon for 70 years. The Jews were mostly treated well in Babylon. While some Jews lamented their captivity in a foreign land, see the Psalms, others became established in their new communities. When the Persian king Cyrus decided to allow the Jews to return to their homeland, only the most devout Jews returned to Jerusalem with the purpose of rebuilding the city and its temple. In the meantime, over that 70 years, the Samaritans had developed their own version of Judaism. The Samaritans still believed in the God of Israel, but they worshipped at Mount Gerizim instead of Jerusalem, with their own adapted worship practices. Most Jews regarded the Samaritans as ignorant, superstitious, and outside of God's favour and mercy. Not really what you could call good neighbours. So our story begins not with the parable, but with a discussion between Jesus and a lawyer, someone well-versed in Jewish law. In fact, the story Jesus tells is bookended by his interaction with the lawyer before and after. So in the first episode, the lawyer asks a question. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus asks a question back. What is written in the law? He responds, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength and mind, and your neighbour as yourself. Then Jesus says, you've given the right answer. Do this and you'll live. The lawyer again asks Jesus a question. And who is my neighbour? And Jesus' response is the parable. The young man knows clearly what the law says. His problem is he doesn't know how to do this. I know I must love my neighbour as myself, but how can anyone do that? He cannot see how he can live out his answer. Surely there must be some limits on who is neighbour. What would the listeners have understood from this story? First, notice that the man who happens to be travelling from Jerusalem to Jericho is not given clear definition. Jesus says, a certain man. There are no details, just a certain man. He could be rich or poor, Jew or Gentile, young or old. It could be anyone. It could be you. It could be me. Notice too that this is a chance happening. By chance, a certain man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho. It could be any person at any time. It could happen to you. It could happen to me. What could happen on the road to Jericho was well known. It was 18 miles from Jerusalem to Jericho, and it was a rough, rocky, mountainous road, descending roughly 3,000 feet, because Jerusalem was 2,500 feet above sea level, Jericho 846 below sea level. Despite the Roman rule and the improved infrastructure, bandits remained a constant problem and a threat on these wilderness roads. Jesus' listeners would have expected that the priest and the Levite would see a fellow Jew who'd been injured and would help him. However, the law for priests and Levites was very strict in regard to contracting uncleanliness by touching a corpse. So the reason why the priest and the Levite went by on the other side may not necessarily be because they were indifferent or didn't care about the man, but that they were observing the law. Possibly. The Samaritan was, from the point of view of Judeans, an apostate, a renegade, one who had deserted the faith as practiced by those in Jerusalem. The Samaritans, for heaven's sake, had established a temple at Mount Gerizim and followed their own practices. So, for Jesus' listeners, the Samaritan was the enemy. But this Samaritan, when he comes, treats the injured traveller with extraordinary kindness. For him to patch up and even take him to an inn was good. But then he takes out 2 denarii and gives them to an innkeeper with a promise to repay any more he might spend. This was beyond all expectations of kindness to someone who was beaten and robbed. He is an extraordinary neighbour. Jesus told this story in the first century, but the truth of it stands today. How many people today do we find lying by the side of the road? Beaten down, homeless, alien, destitute, while the crowds walk by. While we walk by? It's easy to be neighbourly when we're in a comfortable position. But what about when the situation is difficult? When we're short of time? When we're afraid? Andrew Pryor suggests it may be about letting ourselves feel those who suffer rather than just looking at them. I have a short video that I'm going to invite you to watch now. It's a video about really seeing people. That was people they knew they didn't recognise. What if they were strangers? And this is what makes it so difficult for all of us. Again, Andrew Pryor asks, why does the story say of both the priest and the Levite, when they saw him, they passed by on the other side, but says of the Samaritan, he came near him, and when he saw him, he was moved with pity. Is there a way of being that does not come near people and therefore cannot really see them as human? And what is the way that comes near people? Because he was the sort of man who came near people and saw them, rather than one who saw people and moved away from them, the Samaritan was moved with compassion. My favourite biblical storyteller is Tom Boomershine, and he says about this story, this story is a story about the extraordinary grace of the kingdom of God. It is an example of the extension of care to an enemy. It is not only about the goodness of caring for those who've been hurt, but also the goodness of breaking the cycle of violence, retribution and revenge that happens in relationships between people who are in conflict with each other. That is what the kingdom of God is all about. A neighbour is one who cares for his friends and his enemies. So, after Jesus told the parable, we return to the conversation with the lawyer. Jesus' question to the lawyer at the end is, which of these three do you think was a neighbour to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? So you'll see that Jesus changes the lawyer's question. The lawyer asked, and who is my neighbour? By his definition, the neighbours of the story would have been the priest and the Levite, members of his group, not the alien Samaritan. However, at the end of the story, Jesus changes the question, saying, which of these do you think was a neighbour? That is, who proved to be a neighbour? Neighbour is not defined by location or by group of people, but by those who need concern and care. Bruce Pruitt suggests Jesus discards the theoretical question of who is my neighbour and instead applies the practical, to whom can I be a good neighbour? To whom can I be a good neighbour as I travel down the road of life? Will I be a person of grace like the Samaritan? When I am your neighbour, you are my neighbour. and we need not fear each other. Instead, we can thrive together. Amen.